Video presentation. It's not exactly an ordinary video, but it's called This Sound Interactive. And we'll be showing it here in the temple room. Not on a very, very big screen, but on the screen about this big. And you'll see the highlights of the combination video, audio, slides, exposition of, and when I say audio, I mean music, and words, sound effects of production's been in progress for about 4 years. So that will be right after the piece here in the temple room at about 8 o'clock. So again, won't really be a big enough screen for everybody to come to the piece to watch it. But if you're interested. Anyway, if you're interested, 8 o'clock. So last Friday, a few days ago, we celebrated the disappearance of Sanatana Goswami. And that's a very special day. He's a very special devotee. Born in the 15th century, he's a contemporary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'll speak a little about him. Sanatana Goswami, along with his brothers Anupam and Rupa Goswami, are great scholars in the line of devotional service in our Sampradaya. And they were contemporary with Lord Chaitanya. It was Sanatana Goswami who Lord Chaitanya taught for several months the science of devotional service, and thus he empowered him to write voluminously about the glories of devotional service. And included in his works are the Hari Bhakti Vilas. Sanatana Goswami was born in a Brahmin family. He was a very able person, very nimble-minded. And as time went on, he was posted in the government, and he worked under the Nawab, who was ruling at that time in his area. The area was ruled by Mohammedans, and he rose to a position of government minister. He was very learned in Sanskrit and Persian and Bengali. And after many years of service, when he heard of Lord Chaitanya, he went to meet him and decided that it would be time for retirement. And as it happened in that society, he was also somewhat rejected from Hindu society because of his intimate association with the Mohammedan rulers. Nonetheless, when he persevered in his studies, and as he heard about Lord Chaitanya, he decided to go and meet him. And he was instructed for several months by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You can read about this instruction, and it's the essence of the instruction given in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, the science of devotional service. So he became very learned, and he began to conduct classes. He conducted Bhagavatam classes in his home. He called in sick, and after some time, when his boss realized that he wasn't coming in, he went to see him and discovered that he was holding classes in his home, and he wasn't actually sick. So for a time he was arrested and held prisoner for these sick reports. And somehow, by the mercy of the Lord, he was able to escape from that prison. He had some savings accumulated, and he agreed that one jailer there would help him if he gave him certain compensation. So he was able to escape and went over a very difficult jungle and hill track to come to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the course of their meeting, Sanatana Goswami, who was a very learned person, actually at the beginning of their meeting,
he presented himself as a person without knowledge, even though he had vast knowledge of so many languages and other matters dealing with administration and government. He characterized himself as being unknowing, and his first words to Lord Chaitanya were, Kayami, or who am I? This is how he began. And this, Prabhupada comments, is the proper attitude for someone entering spiritual life to have. Even if one may be very learned or very revered from a material point of view, when one enters into devotional life, one should present oneself as very humble and very ignorant before spiritual authorities. So this is the way he presented himself, and he absorbed many, many days and hours of instruction for a period of a little over 90 days. And in this way he became empowered. Now during the course of this instruction, because Sanatan Goswami was also very affluent, he was wearing a very opulent looking cloak or a kind of blanket. It's multicolored, like an Afghan we call it. So he noticed that Lord Chaitanya was looking at this kind of askance. And he could tell that somehow there was something wrong in his attire. So he decided to shed this as a kind of last vestige of his opulent life. So he went to the Ganga and saw a very elderly Brahmin and asked, who was wearing a very torn quilt. And he asked him, could I trade you? And the Brahmin thought he was joking. He said, don't try to make fun of me. I'm just an old man. Obviously, you're not going to give away such a nice a fine piece of silken cloth. He said, no, I'm serious. I want to give this to you as a gift and take yours in return. So finally he convinced him, and the Brahmin gave him his old torn quilt. Then Sanatan returned to take instructions from Lord Chaitanya, and as soon as he saw Lord Chaitanya, he saw that the Lord was very happy, very pleased with him, and he knew that he had done the right thing. That this, he considered, was his last vestige of attachment to material life. And then he began to study more and more and hear from Lord Chaitanya. And he could understand that the spiritual master, in this case Lord Chaitanya, was very pleased with him for his action. So he became a great mendicant and wore mostly only a loincloth. And Lord Chaitanya sent him to Vrindavan. And one of his missions was to excavate holy places that had been covered over in the course of time and lost to humanity in the holy city of Vrindavan. And then Lord Chaitanya said, and I will come to join you there. But unfortunately for Sanatan, fortunately in another way, Lord Chaitanya didn't make that next trip to Vrindavan. Sanatan Goswami established the deity of Radha Madan Mohan. They're the same deity's names that we have here, Radha Madan Mohan. And the temple of Radha Madan Mohan is still visited by millions of pilgrims who come from all over, especially India, but all over the world now, to see the temple of Radha Madan Mohan. And they are considered the deities that remind us about our relationship with the Supreme Lord, that we're all servants of God, that we all have a relationship with Krishna, and that the essence of that relationship, or to develop that relationship, is to engage in devotional service to the Supreme Lord. This was Sanatan's teaching, and he wrote many, many, many books. And sometimes, how many of you have been to Mathura or Vrindavan? Well, you know, if you go there during Kartik season or a little later, it gets very cold. Sanatan lived writing in caves under trees by sacred lakes and in forests, and was constantly writing his realizations, and his books are still studied by great scholars. And sometimes it was very cold. And can you imagine only wearing a loincloth even at night in the winter? Very cold. And apart from being a great scholar, he was also a great tapasvi. He would circumambulate the entire 17 miles, 25 kilometers of Govardhan Hill, Giri Govardhan, every day of his life. And he would offer 1,008 dandavats to the Vaishnavas. So at age 65, he was still circumambulating. He was studying and reading and writing, one of the most prolific authors of the Sampradaya. But he was circumambulating Govardhan Hill. And Lord Giriraj himself the personification of the hill, came to him and said, Sanatana, you're growing very elderly. I think that I want to save you the effort of walking around this mountain, Govardhan Hill, every day. So if you'll just take this Shila, and he took a rock from the hill of Govardhan and placed it before him, and circumambulate this rock every day, this Govardhan Shila will be equivalent to going around the entire Govardhan Hill. So then Krishna stood upon this rock in his beautiful threefold bending form, and with one hand was holding a goad for the calves, and the rock, feeling the caress of the Lord's lotus sole of his foot, melted in ecstatic bliss and left a footprint. And this Shila with Krishna's footprint in it is still visible and available to see in the Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan, the same temple where Srila Prabhupada spent about 5.5 years writing the first volume of first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So you can also go and see that if you go to the Radha Damodar temple, that wonderful Shila with Krishna's beautiful footprint in it. So he circumambulated every day this Shila, this Govardhan Shila, and that was the same, according to the Lord, as going around the entire Govardhan Hill. Among the many things that Sanatana Goswami taught was the principle of devotional service. That devotional service was something that, even though he was a great tapasvi and mendicant, he taught that devotional service could be practiced anywhere, at any time, by anyone. And his writings and those of Rupa Goswami teach us that devotional service begins from birth, begins from childhood. It doesn't have to wait until the time of retirement. In devotional service, as taught by Prabhupada, everyone begins some form of devotional service right in the beginning of their association with devotees. And everyone who has children also begins to teach. And as yesterday we were at the function of Krishnananda, who is about to have a child, and we discussed how important it is, how sacred it is that one can bring a Krishna conscious child into the world. It was also mentioned that even within the womb, before birth, the auditory sense is active and one can hear, and the child within the womb can hear. So like in the case of Prahlad Maharaj and others, spiritual instruction was given to Prahlad Maharaj, in that case by Narada Muni, and he heard the chanting, he heard the philosophy of Krishna consciousness while he was still in the womb. So to bring such persons into the world and raise them from childhood as devotees of Krishna is a very sacred and very important duty. In fact, one's spiritual acumen, one's spiritual accomplishments are sometimes judged by how many one influences to be Krishna conscious, or how many one can rescue from the material predicament in which we all find ourselves and bring them back to the spiritual world. So we're going to spend a few minutes, now that you have your beads, chanting one round of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This chanting was also taught by Sanatana Goswami and all the great acharyas in the line of disciple succession. This is the Yuga Dharma, the method of God realization recommended in the Shastras for this age of Kali. And anywhere you go, you can practice it and begin immediately the process of devotional service. So if everyone can take a look at your beads, you have one bead that has a little bit of rope or string hanging from it. That's the summit bead. Krishna, Hare. So that's called one round of japa, and at one time all the Vaishnavas in our sampradaya were chanting that much.
Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you. So that's called one round of japa, and at one time all the Vaishnavas in our sampradaya were chanting that much. 64 of those every day, but we don't have to chant so many. We can start with one and then gradually work up to get more. So we'll stand for arti in a few moments. Yeah, if you want to ask anything or make a comment, this is an interactive night. Yeah. Okay, I think I understand. He's asking, we say, all glories to the assembled devotees. And is that karma? Because we're giving something good. So maybe we won't have time to answer this completely, but we can talk afterwards. When we glorify a Vaishnava or a devotee, it's actually a karma or not karma. Because the definition of a Vaishnava is that he is operating in the realm of non-karmic activity. Just as when one eats prasadam, it is called karma-free. So devotional activities, whether eating prasadam, chanting the Lord's name, offering the deity some form of puja or service, or just offering obeisances to the devotees, vancha kalpa trubhischa, that is a way of ridding ourselves of karma, because karma is ultimately burned away by the Supreme Lord. And it cannot be burned away by any material motive. So if we offer respect to devotees and offer our obeisances, we're expressing great humility and we're gradually freeing ourselves from karmic bonds. So we can all stand, rise for arti. Pistai, oh.